My topic today is family wisdom. And I don't know what's going to come out yet, even though I've talked about this before. So we're kind of going to go with the flow here. And I would like to read from Cahil Gibran on marriage, because even though when we do a marriage, we become a family. But there's a lot of points in here that are good for families in general besides marriage. So it begins, "Then Almitra spoke again and said, 'What of marriage, Master?' And he answered, saying, 'You are born together, and together you shall be forevermore. You shall be together when the white wings of death scatter your days. Aye, you shall be together even in the silent memory of God. But let there be spaces in your togetherness, and let the winds of heavens dance between you. Love one another, but not make a bond of love. Let it rather be a moving sea between the shores of your soul. Fill each other's cup, but drink not from one cup. Give one another of your bread, but not eat from the same loaf. Give, sing and dance, and be joyous, and let each of you be alone, even as the strings of a lute are alone, though they quiver with the same music. Give your hearts not into each other's keeping, for only the hand of life can contain your hearts. And stand together, yet not too near together, for the pillars of the temple stand apart, and the oak tree and the cypress grow not in each other's shadow." So I'm going to refer to this again later, but it's such a rich reading and it talks so much about how we can get along and enjoy each other's company without smothering or holding on. And so that's part of what I think is about family wisdom. So when we talk about families, the first thing that comes to mind is our biological family. Our mother, our father, our siblings, how we grew up, where we grew up, all of those things that began our life on earth. And we come with a family and they teach us many, many things. And then as adults, we get to sort out what to keep. And one of my bosses once said to me that he thought about people's eternity and the gifts that they would bring and his family members. And he said the best thing we can ever do for someone else is to take all of the good that they have to offer and carry it forward and just leave everything else behind. And it sounded so peaceful to me to be able to hold on to all of the good that my mom and dad and brothers and sisters brought to this, to my world, and just leave anything else behind. And I was fortunate to grow up in a family that really supported each other. And so it took me a long time to realize not all families do that. So when we speak of family, and that's the first thing that comes to our mind, our heritage, our lineage, our kin, and our clan, and where we grew up and what came from that. Then we just saw an example today of how as we grow in this physical body and in childhood and in wisdom that our parents impart to us, how sometimes the child comes in holding the hand and then wants to kind of scoot away a little bit and become independent. And in the beginning, they're looking like wide-eyed and they take two steps away from the parent and they get this little grin and come running back to safety because the family's a safe harbor. Good, bad, or indifferent, the family becomes a safe harbor. So then that child lets go of the hand again and runs four steps away, looks back and grins because now they're independent and then comes flying back. And I think that's symbolic sometimes of what we do with God and our spiritualness, that we know that we have this rich spiritual underpinning that's the core of our very being, and yet sometimes we want to turn away a little bit and go do something we think is bad, or or more daring than maybe we should. And we forget that we really can't break that bond at all. We forget. So we're not ever separated from our good. We're not ever separated from spirit or the divine. But the divine supports us always. So whether we're thinking, whatever we think we're doing in this world, the divine is going, yay, go for it, do it, play your part and play it with gusto. With children, we come to them and we see them easily as divine spirits and lights, and they look at us for guidance and support and help. And there was a little boy who stubbed his toe once, and it hurt. Of course, and he went running to his dad, and dad said what all parents do, well, show me where it hurts and I'll kiss it and make it better. And he said, now, which toe is it? And he says, it's the one that doesn't have roast beef. So we wonder sometimes where kids get ideas, right? But this is where they get them from us. And another example was where the little girl was having trouble with some potty training, and she just wasn't getting it. And one day, she sat down and got it. She got it. And she stood up and went, yay, now I get to go to Harvard. So through our life, our parents teach us things that they don't even know they're teaching us. And telling us, and it's up to us as adults then to sort out what is ours to keep and what is ours to let go. And it's just very interesting because family wisdom comes in all forms. And Connie mentioned, I think you mentioned the retreat that we were just on, which was really nice and rich. But she expressed a family wisdom at the retreat. And we had a serving of eggs this morning, and they were very hot. And she remembered a wisdom that her mom had said, which went, eat around the edges like a little puppy dog, because the edges are cooler. So, and that is a wise thing that a parent could say, something to remember on how to do something later in life. So one of the questions I would ask of you is, what is your family wisdom? What family wisdom things did you glean that you carry on, that you realize the wisdom of your mother, father, sisters, brothers, and what you carry with you, and trying to let the other stuff go then. So, going through these pretty quickly. So as we become older and more independent, especially when we start school, we start creating other families. Because now we have many, many families in our life, most of us. Except for one little one here. We have many families, so we start friends at school, and we can call that a family. Our class at school could be a family. When we go off to college, we make friends. We join the glee club or the choir or the art club. It's a family if we choose to think of it that way. And then we become imbued with new ideas from that group. So we may go into that group kind of dependent on the group, just as we are as children, dependent, because we need to learn, and then we begin giving back to the group. So there becomes an interdependence. And I have a definition here of, it's called healthy autonomy. Healthy autonomy is a state of confident self-reliance in which an individual recognizes their interdependency with others. We have a sense that one can effectively control one's destiny and is not unduly controlled or influenced by others. So when we have self-reliance on ourselves, then we become interdependent, which is really where we want to be in the world. We want to become independent first. We kind of have a dependence, and then we need to go to interdependence, and then we want to become interdependent, where we can be, as described in the prophet, standing on our own, allowing others to grow, allowing others to serve us and us to serve them, and for all of that to come full circle. So we make all of these families up, and the study group becomes a family. if you let it. And this is a group based on spiritual knowledge and divine knowledge that is so rich, whether you come here once or whether you come here every week or just once in a while. Hopefully, the grand plan is that you leave this space with something more and that you have given and taken, because that's the circle of life. We give and we take. And if we're not doing both, then we're not really full and rich in our own being. We're not, we don't have that healthy autonomy and that confidence to do that. So we begin to revisit our values when we start creating different families. We had a value system in our family, and now we have a group here. We've gone through school, and we begin to revisit all of the values that we have learned in life. And then sometimes we find ourselves going home and finding it very different and hard to be there. Or as one person said, I walk into the house at Thanksgiving, and somewhere between cutting the turkey and dessert, I've gone from age 45 to 6. So we get thrown back into this group because that group has an energy of its own. And I used to think, well, if I change who I am and I stay steady in that, we've heard this before, if I change and get real strong and steady and based in my spiritual truth and know who I am, others have to change around me. And I think that statement is basically true. But at Thanksgiving dinner, it kind of flies out the window. And I think that's because there's a whole group of people. We're not just relating to mom or dad individually. We're relating to a group that has had agreements that we have put into place. And that becomes, when those types of things happen, it becomes a codependent situation in a way. And if as we grow, we're going to stand for this one, as we grow, we want to be as that cypress tree and the birch tree that don't grow in each other's shadows, so that we can spread our wings. And if you've ever seen one single tree in the... I'm going to get on this side just because it's comfortable.
All right.
We see one perfect tree standing out in the yard, and it has a perfect shape to it. But when we get two trees together and they're intertwined, and I start growing, and I can only grow this way, and that tree, Connie, can only grow that way. And so we don't feel quite balanced. And so I want to spread my wings a little bit, and she's not letting me. She's holding on. So our idea is not to hold on, to let go, but in a codependent situation, I'm not going to let her go either, because we're dependent on each other. I can't stay in my state of being grouchy or miserable or whatever if she's not supporting me in that. And I need her to support me in that if that's where I am. If I am that victim, I need someone to support me in my victimhood. And so she's going to do that for me because I'm holding on very, very tight. Thank you. So to let go of that codependent state, it's almost like two people have to do it. Yes, yes, enjoy. Two people almost have to come to an agreement, or one has to be really strong and say, this is how it is. This is what's going to happen now. I can't support you in your victimhood anymore. I can't support you in being miserable anymore because I know there's a better way. I'll bring you with me and support you in becoming that, or the relationship may have to end. And it's a choice that we make at that point. So really what we want to know is that there's... In these families, it's very important to recognize some things, like people get really hurt and injured by family situations. And to let them know that they're not hurt is what we're about. To let them know that there's a way out is what we're about in our strength of spiritual knowing and knowing that God's love is everywhere at all times. They're not separate from that. So the question then becomes, how do we want to be with each other? And this group as a platform has a solid base that has grown through the years that supports love in everyone. It supports love.
Bye.
And I'd like to read a poem. This is by Reverend Noel McGinnis. And Connie's familiar with this poem because he was at the center where Connie and I met. It talks about a way of being in the world that allows growth for each and every person. And it's called flow. Be as water is without friction. Flow around the edges of those within your path. Surround within your ever-moving depths those who come to rest there. Enfold them while never for a moment holding on. Accept whatever distance others are moved within your flow. Be with them gently as far as they allow your strength to take them and fill with your own being the remaining space when they are left. When dropping down life's rapids, froth and bubble into fragments if you must, knowing that the one of you, now many, will just as many times be one again. And when you've gone as far as you can go, quietly await your next beginning. So when he talks about flowing around others and enfolding them without holding on, how many times do we grasp for a friendship or a relationship or keep wanting to hold on to our children? And yet, he says down here, fill with your own being the remaining space when they are left, when they have left you behind, when they have flown out of the house and such. And I think that as parents and as friends, we teach others as much as we can to be independent and to be strong. And in the teaching of our children, especially, we're learning ourselves. Because even though it appears we are teaching the children to walk and to talk and to how to cross the street and how to ride the bicycle and how to go to school and what to wear and how to eat healthy, even though we think we are the teachers, the children are really the ones that are teaching at the same time. So I would suggest that there's this relationship of give and take that allows us strength when it's time for the children to go, that we have grown ourselves at the same time. I always thought my children were a visitor in the house. Mm-hmm. Because as they came into my home, I expected them to leave. I knew that at 18, 20, whatever time was their time, I wanted them to be viable adults in the community. I wanted them to be on their own and to be successful and to be all that they could be. So my plan was to support them and love them and to support them in such a way that they always knew I was one of their best supporters. I was always there for them. So never would I ever say something to them that would diminish them. Now, that was my goal. I don't know that I was perfect in it, but I did the best I could. And so as we do that, then we strengthen our own knowing in ourselves and who we are. And when we do get to those places where we drop down a rapid and we're frothing and bubbling because we're going kind of going like this, help, do something, I'm out here and I know I need to be here, we can trust that we're going to be back together soon again. We ourselves are going to become whole and understand because we've been growing with those people. And we can trust that. And when we've gone as far as we can go, we can know that there is something new for us in that same setting. So in the prophet, what we heard was, love one another, but let there be spaces. Always let there be spaces. Just like the two trees that can't grow to their fullness, let there be space. Don't make a bond. And I love this. Don't let it be like a moving sea between the shores of your between the shores of your souls. And as we stand or sit here, we have space that we see with our physical eyes, but yet can't you see that rolling sea between us that's connecting each and every one of us into that space of oneness and wonder and delight and awe? So we want to know, and that moving sea between us always reminds me then that I really am connected to you. Mm-hmm. I really am connected, because it's not just emptiness here. There's an energy and something more in that empty space. And that empty space just allows us, I just read, why do we have to see things as solid if they're really not? Why is it that we have to have these forms that look different if it's really not? And the answer was, in this particular author's opinion, was that we have to have this body of form. Otherwise, we would just all be mixing together and not really seeing life individually. We'd constantly be flowing one into another and not see the richness that this, quote, separation allows us to see. So I kind of like that. There's a lot about we spaces now. I don't know if you've heard about we spaces, but there's a lot of groups that are coming together into what is called a we space. And well, you'll start hearing about it now, because I just dropped that we space, so you'll hear about it again. People come together. It's usually a small group of 6 to 8, and people come together to talk and to share. And with the idea that they are coming together and creating a space for each other, with each other, and that as people share, something greater will come from the group than that could come from an individual. And it will enhance the planet or life as a whole. So it's simply an informal, mostly group, that chooses to have a belief. And I've seen these groups, and they have all religions in them. They have male and female. They have old and young. And they are just sharing and to hear what someone else says, so that they can be supportive and loving and caring. So I think that as we come together in a space, and hopefully probably this space is kind of like a we space actually, that we bring our whole self to it. So we try not to say, I'm perfect, I have a perfect life, I have this, I have that, even though we might, because there's still something that we're growing and learning and moving towards. So there's an openness in a we space that says, I'm going to bring the good, the bad, the ugly. I'm going to bring forth who I am so that I can bring it out and share it and maybe change it if it's something that's not supporting me at that time. So the we spaces, families don't always fit into the we spaces. When we as groups, Science of Mind groups, call ourselves a family, we need to be very careful using that word. Only because some family situations have not supported people. So when we say we're a family, we want to kind of define that as a supportive, loving group that you're invited into. So the people aren't scared. I don't want to go to that family. You know, that's not who I am. So what I want to leave you with is that spirit is the grand poopah of all families. Spirit is love incarnate. Spirit is here to support you, no matter what family you're in, no matter what family you claim, no matter who you claim to be in that family. Spirit is saying, yes, you're here and you're doing your work. We have the choice of change so that we can change who we are and what work we do when we're ready to do that. But it's Spirit's love that never fails, and it's the divine energy that creates worlds that flows through us that allows us to know that we can create as well. So I just hope that you enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner. Whether you come out as your own self or a six-year-old, it doesn't matter, because you know that you are loved by spirit and supported fully in that. So I think that I'd like to close with a prayer, and then we'll go into our next segment. So I'm going to invite you to breathe and relax, and know that you are fully supported by the chair, so to let everything else just kind of become fluid in a way. Just to let everything else melt away. Anything that came before, anything that's on your to-do list, you can pick up later. And come to a space where there is love and a divinity that never fails. If you don't feel that yet, you might put your hand over your heart and just breathe into that space. And know that there is one source, one presence, one energy. Only one. That the space between us is the love, the waves lapping on the shores of our souls. And that in this space of oneness and love, right now, there is a space of eternal peace and joy and harmony and well-being. So I invite you to put into this circle anything that is on your mind or heart that you would like healing for. Just put it in there, because this circle has been created for healing. If there is an actual name that should be put into this circle, put that name in there as well. And you can do that aloud or silently. And so I know that the love that is here in this room is here for each and every person. It's here for each and every person that has ever entered this room and has yet to enter this room. I know that the wisdom that comes from us coming together, from our families as we grew up, from our families that we choose, is rich in every way. And I invite us right now to take all of that good from each and every family member that we have ever had in our life. And remember that. Remember that and carry it forward. Rejoice at the wisdoms that have come forward from those family members. Rejoice in the love that has come forth and the understandings, because they have all propelled us to this moment where we can just take in love. Just take it in. And so I know that the law supports us always as we put our word into it. The law supports us. It is unfailing in that. And I put this word into the law, knowing it is spoken as truth, and I release joyfully and gratefully. And so it is.
And so it is.
Awesome.
Thank you.